Well, hey folks, welcome to my weekly Q&A session, coming to you live-ish from the south of France. I'm actually at a pool right now, so if you hear water splashing and kids screaming, that's because kids are screaming and water is splashing. But I trust you're well. Hey, I'm going to have a fun episode today. This is my tinfoil hat episode, and in a moment, I'm going to talk about space travel and aliens and the end of the world and market crashes and all sorts of conspiracies. I might even get a COVID. So just a fun episode today. I have five questions. One about space travel. One about are UFOs real? One about COVID and vaccines. One about the markets crashing. And last one, are we living in the end times? So I'm going to jump into those in a moment. Hey, as usual, before I do that, if you're new to my YouTube channel, why not hit that friendly subscribe button down there? Again, check out some of the links below. Probably the best way of staying in touch with me is signing up for our email newsletter, which you should see again, a link from below. And I'm going to be going live for 2021 with my ministry school mid-August 2021. So if you're interested in our ordination program or some of the courses we do there, links below for that. Boom, great. So I got five questions, as I said today. Number one is about space travel. So these are all funny questions today, but does God want us to travel into space? Let me preface this by saying, number one, these are just opinions, okay? Most of what I'm going to say today is not theology, not Bible. You can have a different opinion. That's great. Don't call me a heretic or send me nasty emails if you disagree with me. These are fun things, really. But come on, question number one, does God want us to travel into space? I actually have a funny take on this one. And let me zoom out and talk about a guy. I won't mention his name, but there was a guy who probably influenced me more than any other preacher, any other minister on the world, guy who died in the late 1980s, but he was a international minister from the UK, really a world-changing guy, amazing guy in so many ways. And the reason I say that is this guy really could hear from God, like anybody, maybe Sean Boltz, I would put it there, but that kind of level, like somebody I've never heard before. And in the early 1960s, when space race and Russia, America, all this kind of thing was really kicking in, this chap asked the Lord, and he said, Lord, do you want mankind to go into space? Do we have a future in space? And straight away, bang, the Lord shot back and said, no, I really don't. And you know, in effect, the Lord said to this guy, it's not that it's a sin to go into space, it's not wrong in that way, but the Lord just said to this guy, there's nothing up there. There's nothing there. There's just, you know, rocks, dust. There's nothing up there whatsoever. They won't find anything up there. The Lord said actually two things really important to this guy. He gave this guy a scripture reference that the guy didn't know. Let me find it. It was in Acts 17. It's actually a really amazing verse. Acts 17, about 29-ish. And the Lord gave this guy just a reference. When he turned to it, this verse says this, Acts 17:26, God has made from one blood every nation of man to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined the pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwelling so that they should seek the Lord. And in effect, what the Lord said to this guy is, I created man to dwell on the face of the earth, not out there in space. And I think in a way, what the Lord really communicated to this guy was that the Lord said, I don't want people looking up there for the future. I don't want people looking up there for the hope. I don't want people looking up there for salvation. I want people looking to me, that our future is not in the moon. I love Elon Musk, but our future's not in Mars. Our future's not trying to, you know, leave the solar system, which is probably something that might be impossible for us to do anyway. Our future's in God, our future's in Jesus. And at times, rather than seeing our need and seeking the Lord, we can find these outlets to express that frustration, and we try to imagine there's some hope there. And the Lord said to this guy, this is back in the early 60s, he said, just to show you how much, how real this is, that I don't want people looking out into space, the Lord said to this guy, the very next mission that goes up, everybody will lose their lives. Now again, the Lord was not saying to this guy, I want people to lose a life or I'm going to kill them, but rather just this will happen. And this guy from the UK, he actually called up NASA. You imagine you're NASA and you get a phone call from some British preacher saying, God's told me that everybody's going to lose their life on the next flight. And of course, NASA didn't take a lot of notice, but the very next flight, I believe it was Apollo 1, where they all blew up. Some of you may remember, and sadly all, I believe it was three astronauts literally burnt on the pad at Cape Canaveral. Now again, be really clear, I'm not saying God burnt them, God wanted that to happen. What God was just simply saying is, you're messing with things you don't really know here, and that this is not worth, you know, God is saying to mankind, seek me, seek my son, seek salvation. Now again, I don't want anybody to mishear me there. I don't think it's wrong to, I'd be really happy if we went back to the moon or Elon goes to Mars. I'm really happy for satellites and all of these things there. There are useful things we can do there. My point is, there's no salvation there. Our hope is in Christ alone. So that would actually be my take on space travel. I think it's an interesting thing to do. I would just put it akin to this. I remember once in the 70s watching a James Bond movie with my dad in the UK. Was one of the really cheesy Roger Moore ones, and I think it was The Spy Who Loved Me. And like every James Bond movie, there's a villain who wants to blow up the whole world and start again with himself as king of the world. And I remember in this movie, the guy was going to basically kill everybody on Earth and then go and live at the bottom of the sea. And it always stuck with me. I remember, I was probably 7 or 8 at the time, I remember my father in the UK saying, you know, that's a nice idea, but it wouldn't last very long if we build some massive, strong structure that can survive the pressures from living under the sea. There's very little to eat down there. There's hardly anything to eat. There's hardly any sunlight down. There's no sunlight down there. It's just, we weren't created to be there. Sure, we can send somebody down there in a high-pressured suit and they can survive a few hours, but we weren't created to be. We're created by this amazing Earth that we're on. That would be my take on should we travel in space, but over to you. Boom. Hey, question number two. So somebody's asked, what do you think of UFOs? If you're following the news, the zeitgeist recently, there are a lot of talk about UFOs, or I think they've given them another name now, haven't they? Unidentified aerial phenomenon or something like that, but basically UFOs. What do I think of these, the videos? Quick answer, I don't know. I think it's possible that, I think number one, it's possible. So, you know, at times, Freud talked about projection, that we so want to see something, we can see it. So I certainly think at times people are looking up in the sky and seeing something that's, you know, weather balloon, that's a plane, that's something like that, and they project upon that canvas what they want to see. Having said that, it's quite obvious with some of these videos recently, especially the kind of the US military ones, that we're dealing with something that is real, quote unquote, that, you know, that radars can detect, that they can film, and that can travel at incredible speeds. You know, a couple of quick thoughts on that. I find it's really interesting, but if you look at some of these, movies, these film clips, or the witness testimony of the pilots, you know, some of the most amazing thing about these phenomenon is, it's not that they're there, but it's how they completely break the laws of physics. I probably don't know exactly what I'm talking about here, but imagine if something were traveling at, you know, 1,000 miles an hour and then instantly did a 90 degree turn. You know, there's something that's impossible in our understanding of the laws of physics. It completely breaks the laws of physics. You know, we see things going at incredible speeds, and yet they're not having any effect on the air flow around them. Normally, if something's traveling, like if something were traveling in water, you'd see the water push back, or a like a tail behind it of the effects it's had in the atmosphere. So what are these things? I guess they could be somebody's imagination, not real. I think that's true for some of them, but I don't think that's true of everything. Could there be UFOs and aliens and people out there? I'll get to that in the next question. I have to say, here's my best guess or thought of what these things are. I think Satan comes and manifests himself as an angel of light. And I think we're living in a day, both where you're going to see the Lord, the angelic, break in and manifest himself. You're seeing, in a way, what we're nearing the end of time, and you're seeing the spiritual manifest itself in the physical. And I would not be surprised whatsoever if what we're dealing with here is not so much little green men from another star system or galaxy flying over, but rather Satan trying to fool people and trying to get into people to put their trust in him and trying to break in on this world. A bit like we see in Genesis 6, the Nephilim. You see, the Bible talks about the sons of God. They appear to be like fallen angels who come and try to interfere with the human race. And I think in the same way as we see that in any kind of witchcraft thing, Ouija boards, you know, the Bible says have nothing to do with, though, with witchcraft, with talking to the dead, all this kind of thing. The Bible doesn't say it isn't real, but rather it's more real than people think, but that it's dangerous. But simply that when somebody goes to a medium and tries to talk to Granny, they're not talking to Granny, they're talking to a deceiving spirit, they're talking to a demon, pretending to be Granny, and in a way seeking for an inroad into somebody's life. So I think these things are real. I think, again, the dangerous in so much as, you know, it's interesting thing, I was watching a documentary on this recently, and again, it wasn't by a Christian guy, and yet the guy made the statement, anybody who gets into kind of UFOs at a certain level, they always end up in the occult. Yeah, there's a video that somebody put out there recently of what they're trying to summon UFOs back for the sun here, and you know, in a way, like call these things into manifestation. And my point in saying that is there's a fast track from a lot of this UFO stuff into the occult. I think it's bad, I think it's dangerous, and I would stay away from it. Boom. Question number three. What a sun here. So somebody asked me, kind of just an update, what do I think of COVID and vaccines? Should Christians take a vaccine, all of that? Well, I'm in France this week. Two or three days ago, the president of France, Emmanuel Macron, basically, it's really bad, basically kind of decreed that every healthcare worker, you know, every public service worker had to have a vaccine by law. And basically everybody else in the country, that if they didn't have a vaccine, they couldn't go into any public place. I'm talking about into a shopping mall, into a store, into a cafe, into a restaurant. So here they're really just strong-arming people, forcing people in a way to have that vaccine. So what do I think of that? I think you get these two ditches on either side of this subject. So anybody who comes to that vaccine thing saying it's 100% safe and there's nothing to worry about and it's absolutely perfect, you know, I don't think any sensible scientific person would say that. But I think there's also a ditch on the other side of the subject as well, about people projecting conspiracy theories and, you know, Bill Gates and chips and all this kind of stuff into that subject. And what do I think of vaccines, big picture? I think, thank God for them. I'm really glad there was a polio vaccine. I'm glad for penicillin, you know, all of these kind of things. I think science is not anti-God. Science came from Christianity, okay? So I don't think there's anything to be scared of per se in a vaccine. And yet at the same time, I don't think it's wrong for people to say, let's look and see and evaluate our own risk. Let's see what, you know, I think everybody's in a different situation. And what I would like to see, both in America, here in France and other places, I'd like to see an adult conversation, but seriously, a grown-up conversation about these things, where we can be honest that there are side effects, because there are side effects with everything. Anything you ever take, there's going to be a side effect, but there are benefits as well. and that we look at those. I think the conversation, let's say, about giving a child a vaccine is a completely different conversation than a conversation about giving an 85-year-old vaccine. And to pretend these are the same things, everybody has the same risk. So I think any kind of dialogue, and I've heard Christians say some silly things recently that, you know, if you have a vaccine, it's against faith, you can't believe in healing. That's just nonsense. Let me say that again, that is nonsense. I've never met anybody who doesn't go to the dentist, okay? Or medical science is not wrong. What's wrong is when we have our faith in these things rather than God. So I want to have my faith in God, but I want to travel in a plane, or have my faith in God, or travel in a car, have my faith in God, but go to a dentist, or all these kind of things. So I don't think there's any shame or blame in those things. I think people should pray. It should be a personal decision, and be informed, pray, and not be bullied. Don't be bullied by people trying to force you to take a vaccine. Don't be bullied by the tinfoil hat brigade saying this is wrong and evil. Take an informed decision for yourself. Boom. Good. Question number four. Well, somebody asked me the question, Graham, do you think the markets are going to crash? Should we sell all my investments? All those kind of things. Okay. Let me be really clear here. I'm not giving investment advice. Okay. I'm a preacher, not a stockbroker or whatever, but we're angels, fear to tread. Let me jump in here. I think one of the good things about getting older is you look with a little bit more hindsight and perspective on some of these situations. One thing I know, at least having been somebody who watches the news since the 1970s, is somebody's always saying the market, so will a market crash sometime in the future? Yes, I believe a market will crash, but what does crash mean? You know, what will happen with all markets is things go up and things go down. I tell you one thing I've really learned. I've learned this by being informed, by reading, by studying. I've learned this by having quite a lot of friends who invest money well and do really well financially. I've also learned this myself in investing, and I do all of my own investments. I have for probably about 10 or 12 years now, and I do really well investing money, something I'm really good at. So one thing I've learned is that let's say the Warren Buffetts of the world, they like it when the market goes down, they just buy more. I think anybody who knows the market knows that things are gonna go up, there are support and resistance, that anything, whether it's the value of an apple, the value of a stock, of an apple stock, the value of a house, the value of anything, it tends to exist within a price range. So there are market corrections, and the very time, what usually, I think Warren Buffett once said that the stock market is a device, it's a wealth transfer device for transferring money from the impatient to the patient. And it's interesting, I sold some stock today that I've had now for about, at least 6 to 8 months, something like that. And for me, that's a very long time. And I bought this and it crashed and went down and down and down, but it was a very good stock I believed in. So I just, you know, once a month I would actually buy some more, and when it kept going down, I was happy, I kept buying some more, and I set a price I wanted to sell it at, and this morning I sold the stock. Now the reason I'm saying that is, I was patient, I just sat in it, and when a lot of other people got out of it, I believed in it, I stayed on it, and I'm out of it there. So will the market crash? Yeah, in a small way, but here's the thing, don't follow all of these fear agendas, oh, this is gonna happen and that's gonna happen. We're gonna constantly live through these things in the way that a commodity goes throughout price ranges. Our general economy does as well. There's times where it's booming, times where it appears to go down. The thing is to live your life, be informed, live with wisdom, and either the market will play you or you will play the market. So I would not be worried about things crashing. I think economies are gonna go up and they're gonna go down. The key is to be a wise person, and it sounds really, really simple, but one of the best investment tactics you can ever do is simply, whether that's once a week or once every 2 weeks or once a month, just keep buying. And I tell you what, look historically, anybody who's ever bought the indices, you know, the I would buy, you know, anyway, I'm giving you investment advice here. What I'm saying is, if you would buy into the American economy, it's a very safe bet in many ways. Again, I'm not giving investment advice, just talking about my own perspective here. My point is that as Christians, we don't need to be fearful about, oh, this is going to crash and that's going to crash. And we sit there in our basement, again, with a tinfoil hat, doing nothing. We need to get on with life and, yeah, believe the favor of God is on us no matter what we do. Boom. Right. Hey, my last question today. Somebody asked me, are we living in the end times? Well, yes, we are. Now, a couple of perspectives. I think the problem with this question is, number one, what Western evangelicals mean by the end times has usually very little to do with what the Bible means by the end times. The end times actually began on the day of Pentecost. And the end times are not the last few years before Jesus returns, but rather the end of the age, this period. Paul talks about those on whom the end of the age have come. So we're living at the end of the age now. I absolutely believe that. Now, will this age end in 5 years, 7 years, 70 years, 700 years, or 7,000 years? I do not know. So how should our eschatology, how should our viewpoint of the end times affect how we live? I think it really should. But we should, one thing I know, this is the end of my age. I am 51. I intend to live to 121, but even then, that's not so long. So this is our end of the age. So rather than be looking at charts and numbers and trying to work out when this thing and that thing will happen, I think rather we should be putting the same diligence into inquiring, Lord, how should I live out this day? How should I live out this week? What's your plan for my life? How do I not be carried away by this wind and this doctrine and this little thing, but rather, how should we now live? Lord, how do I live a life of worship? How do I share the gospel? How do I be conformed to the image of your Son? How do I live the life you desire for me to live right here, right now? And believe that we are living at the end of the age. And yet at the same time, we want to have this viewpoint that says, if Jesus is not coming back for another 500 years, I want to pass on a church, pass on the faith once received, pass on not a better faith, because it's the same faith, but I want to leave a church behind that's thriving and that's good. I want to leave on an inheritance for my children and my children's children in the spirit. So end of the age, yes, amen, but I believe we should be, that should change how we live rather than looking constantly for signs and wonders. And again, rather than living in a basement with a tin foil hat. My motto for the day. Right, that's my five questions for this week. Guys, I hope you've enjoyed that. Wishing you well. Have a great day, great week. Check out, I've got a whole back catalogue of questions and answers there. And again, hit that subscribe button and do share these, if you will, with others who may need to hear them. God bless you. Thanks for watching, guys. Bye for now.